With the constantly rising cost of healthcare, many Americans are making difficult decisions about their health, including sometimes foregoing routine preventative care as a way to save money. This includes routine dental care, which can oftentimes result in patients requiring even more expensive and complicated emergency care down the road to save their pearly whites. I'm Christy I, and you're watching The Cost of Everything, where today we're going to be looking at the cost of maintaining your lifelong dental health and why the U.S. dental care is so much more expensive compared to other countries. Now, we've all heard of medical tourism, where people go for a cosmetic facelift or maybe an infamous Brazilian butt lift. But lately, dental tourism has also been on the rise. The top 10 destinations for dental tourism for U.S. patients are Mexico, Thailand, Hungary, Spain, Poland, Costa Rica, the Philippines, Malaysia, and Turkey. U.S. patients can expect to save between 40 to 65% in Mexico and up to 50 to 75% in Thailand. And this is because in countries like Mexico, the cost of living is significantly less compared with the U.S., making it more feasible for dentists to own and operate a practice. In addition, dentists in Mexico are not required to pay for malpractice insurance. Many patients now combine dental care with a vacation, and the most common procedures for dental tourism include crowns, veneers, implants, whitening, root canals, dentures, and fillings. And just on the other side of the Colorado River, the small Mexican town of Los Algodones bills itself as Molar City. The city only has around 5,000 permanent residents, but thousands of tourists flock to this city every year to take advantage of the 350 dentists in the downtown area. Some clinics even offer transportation to and from airports or other metropolitan areas. Los Algodones was built around dental tourism. This means dental work is fast and cheap. Prices on average are a third of the cost of their U.S. equivalent. But unfortunately, not all the work is quality. None of the procedures are guaranteed, and sometimes patients get taken advantage of. Insurance companies are now even on board with dental tourism, with companies like GeoBlue, which is affiliated with Blue Cross Blue Shield and Aetna, offering specific medical and dental coverage for people who are traveling outside of the U.S. Doing so saves insurance companies money because they're paying out much less than they would for these procedures in the U.S. Some employers have even gone a step further and will even cover entire medical tourism trips for employees. So now joining us today is Dr. Joseph Khalil, dentist from Arlington Dentistry. Now, Joseph, can you provide an overview of the current landscape of dental care costs and how have they evolved over the years?
Well, it really depends on the type of treatment patients are having, and it depends on the locations where you're located. If we're talking in the U.S., it's going to vary if you're in a major city or if you're in the suburbs. Overall, it is known that dental cost in the U.S. is more expensive than, for example, places overseas. What some of the factors that play influence in the dental cost is the complexity of the treatment. And when you're talking about treatment that involves more advanced procedures like surgeries or dental implants, so you're going to find that it's going to be a little bit more costly. Using technology with CAD CAM or 3D printing, that's also going to add the cost. So I guess the answer is it depends on locations. It depends on complexity of treatment.
And what factors contribute to the overall expenses associated with dental care today?
Well, I can tell you from my experience, we're located in Arlington, Virginia. So The real estate is expensive, rents are expensive, staff salaries are expensive. So one of the factors is location. So if you're in a small town where your rent might not be as expensive, your overhead is going to be less. So you have a fixed overhead in the practice, meaning just the fixed overhead, the cost of operating. The moment you walk into your office and you turn the lights on, you have some expenses, whether it's a mortgage on the property or the rent, and you've got your staff salaries. These are all fixed, electricity, etc. So cost of operating a dental office in the U.S. is not cheap. So if you move a little bit towards a smaller areas, it might be a little bit less expensive. But then you've got also malpractice insurance and other business overhead insurances and workman's comps insurances. I mean, there's a lot of hidden expenses. Patients typically think that they're buying our next boat or our airplane or our cars, and it's far, far from reality. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of dental offices and dentists that go out of business. I just heard of one today that closed shop because the rent was so expensive, she couldn't keep the office, so she had to move into a different location. So these are some of the what drives the cost. The other thing is technology. As you advance in technology, labs need to buy sophisticated equipment, especially when it comes to 3D printing machines or using, digital digital scanners, etc. And so that is expensive, and so therefore the lab bill is going to be a little bit more expensive, and so this adds to the cost. So. These are, in a nutshell, you have the fixed overhead, and then you have the other type of expenses where you've got your lab bills and miscellaneous expenses that sometimes happens and you can't control.
Many individuals find dental care costs challenging to manage. Could you elaborate on the specific challenges people face in affording these treatments?
It really depends on the treatment, and it depends on the level of treatment and expectations the patients have. You know, I'll give you a simple example. Let's say someone comes in and they don't have teeth. Okay, they want to have some teeth. They can go with something that's removable. They can go with something that's removable with two implants, and they can go with something that's removable but a little bit more fixed with four implants, and they can go with something that is fixed, like having their own teeth with, you know, four or more implants. And the more fixed you go, the more the cost. Now you know, they might need simple restorative, like fillings, and that's not going to be as much expensive as if they needed, for example, a root canal and maybe some crowns on top. So the best way to save on dental treatment is prevention, because there is a way where patients can go throughout their life with not needing other than simple cleanings, you know, but it takes the effort to, do the work at home. I always tell patients when they come in for their 6 months visits for a cleaning, and I tell them, listen, you're seeing me 2 days out of 365. What really matters, what's more important, is what you do in the 363 days at home. So prevention is the best solution.
And how do preventative care measures such as regular checkups and cleanings contribute to the overall cost of dental maintenance?
When it comes to dentistry, for the most part, prevention is key, okay? And I always tell patients, my job is to help you need less dentistry. I would be failing as a dentist if my patients keep coming to me and they keep needing work. So we spend a lot of time on spending time and talking to them about prevention. The number one cause of problems, the major, 60% plus of things that we do in the office are the result of cavities, decay, right? Caries. And the best prevention is limiting sugar consumption. And its sugar isn't everywhere, and it doesn't impact only their overall health, from diabetes to heart disease, etc. But also it impacts the teeth, and then the teeth when they get cavities, that's where expenses start rising up. Now, there's a way to fix something before it gets bigger with simple filling, so that's where you can control the cost. And then, of course, as it gets bigger, you go into more expenses when you get into more advanced, whether it's root canals. And if you let it go completely, then you lose a tooth. Then you're talking about surgeries and extractions and implants if you want to replace them. So controlling sugar, okay, brushing, flossing, but the main thing is sugar, limiting sugar occasions. And of course, fluoride plays a big role as well, and it's controversial. Some people are against fluorides, some are with. We have studies that show that it does prevent tooth decay, but in my opinion, the number one thing is sugar. Sugar poison for the teeth and for the body.
Thank you so much, doctor, but please stick around. Dr. Joseph Khalil will stay with us right here after the break. So stay tuned as we delve into the world of cosmetic dentistry, exploring its rising popularity fueled by the influence of social media. We'll have more after the break.
Hi, I'm Rick Sanchez. And I'm here to plead with you, whatever you do, do not watch my new show. Seriously, why watch something that's so different? Why listen to opinions that you won't get anywhere else? Look, if it pleases you to have the State Department, the CIA, weapons makers, multi-billion dollar corporations choose your facts for you, go ahead. Why change? And whatever you do, don't watch my show. Stay mainstream, because I'm probably going to make you uncomfortable. My show is called Direct Impact. But again, you probably don't want to watch it, because it might just change the way you think.
Is full of different cultures with various beauty standards and traditions. Where one country values bronze, tan skin, others prize fair porcelain, glass skin. But across the board, every country values healthy white teeth. So when it comes to the best overall dental health, Denmark takes the first spot with a DMFT index, which stands for decayed, missing, or filled teeth score of 0.4. Danish citizens have pretty perfect teeth, followed by Germany, Finland, Sweden, and the UK. Now, diet plays an important factor in dental health. Cultures that consume large amounts of sugar are more prone to dental problems, which lowers their DMFT score. The Philippines have the worst DMFT score, with 90% of their citizens suffering from tooth decay. India and Australia rank second and third to last on the list. Countries with universal health care often see better oral health outcomes due to more accessible and affordable dental services. Now, Americans have some of the best dental care in the world, but more than 90% of American adults have had some form of tooth decay. And again, diets filled with sugary, carbonated, acidic drinks are largely to blame. And while decays can be fixed with dental fillings, repetitive decay can wear down the tooth structure enough that extraction may be the only option. On average, preventative dental care services like x-rays and cleanings cost between $275 to $400. But if you have a cavity and require filling, it can range from $150 for a tooth to $250. Crowns are more expensive and depend on the material, from $1,000 for a metal filling to $2,000 for a ceramic filling. And for many people who lapse in dental care, whether for cost reasons or for COVID reasons, they often return in worse shape. Dentists who reported declines in patient volume during the height of the pandemic saw nearly 40% increases in oral health problems, including more cavities in subsequent years. This is referred to now as COVID cavities. Dentists also reported seeing a sharp rise in chipped and cracked teeth as well, as more Americans stressed by COVID were clenching their jaws and grinding their molars. This can be attributed to children and teens consuming more sugary snacks and not following strict dental hygiene practices while spending an extended amount of time at home during quarantine. Adults also develop snacking habits, having a refrigerator stashed 20 feet away from them at all times. So for this and more, let's bring in again Dr. Joseph Khalil, dentist at Arlington Dentistry. Now, Joseph, we often hear about people needing ortho work, and people routinely get braces or Invisalign in their adult years. How have these new technologies contributed to the cost of dental care?
I would still say that overall, you can still get clear aligners for a reasonable, affordable cost, maybe a little bit less than what was traditionally necessary to get like the conventional braces. But it's gonna depend, once again, depends on the region, depends on the area, depending on the provider. We do a lot of Invisalign, and because we do a lot of Invisalign, we get into a different tier, meaning my cost from Invisalign would be less than someone that doesn't do a lot of Invisalign. So I can afford to pass on those savings to my patients. Okay? So, and that's the decision that I make, business decision that I make, to say, you know what, I want to lower the cost for the patients. And this way I get more patients interested. And I also believe that when you've got patients wearing Invisalign and they're like ambassadors to your practice, because their friends and family will ask someone, well, who's doing your Invisalign? And then it can be more of a marketing tool.
Are there technologies that have significantly improved dental treatments and lowered the cost, such as these aligner subscription services? And do they actually work?
I'm a believer, okay, that straighter teeth are cleaner teeth. So I don't look at straightening the teeth strictly as a cosmetic benefit to the patients. Okay? There are a lot of benefits. As a matter of fact, I don't discuss my patients Invisalign or straightening the teeth strictly on the basis of cosmetics, unless this is a concern to them and we can address it. But sometimes their bite, the way their teeth are fitting together, the direction of the force can be detrimental. They can be cracking their teeth, they can be chipping their teeth, and simply because the teeth are in the wrong place. Also, we see a lot of patients that are well into their 80s and 90s, and a lot of patients physiologically, you know, as we all get older, lower teeth get more crowded. And then when manual dexterity diminishes, so people, as they get older, some of them are in assisted living, you know, they have other people brushing their teeth. It's always easier to clean straighter teeth than crowded teeth. I do sometimes a lot of restorations and fixing cavities on patients with crooked teeth or crowded teeth. So there is a lot of health benefits to having straighter teeth. And so we discuss that with patients when they are well in, you know, into their, you know, before they get older, and we say, hey, we're living long, and there are some advantages to that. So, and yes, so that technology is helping patients have healthier mouth. And by the way, there are a lot of studies that were done that saw that the type of bacteria around crowded teeth is different than the bacteria around straighter teeth. And we all know that there's correlation between heart disease and gum disease. So I look at things where, you know what, this is definitely a health benefit. The other thing that is important is that when you have straighter teeth, and studies have been done, you have better self-confidence, you have better self-esteem. So there's your whole emotional psyche is better. There it has been linked to having better jobs. And I'm talking in general, being able to feel better about yourself. So these are also benefits. It's gonna differ where you are in the world. In America, there's a lot more emphasis on that versus some other parts of the world.
Cosmetic dentistry has seen a rise in popularity. What has contributed to this?
It is cultural. But if you want to talk about the Western world, it has been on the rise, and it went even more on the rise after COVID, when everybody was on Zoom. And I had a lot of patients come in to me, say like, show me screenshots of their Zooms. Like, look at my teeth. People go in life. No one looks from the outside in, right? Unless you're looking in the mirror, right? And then when people are on screen and on Zoom, they notice they notice their teeth, they notice the color, they notice the arrangements. So yes, it became more on the rise. The other thing is our ability to use better communication skills using digital media, photography, computers, 3D scanners. You're able to show patients on the screen, and then patient acceptance and patient's awareness increase. So that's two. Three, there's a lot of different treatment modalities that one can do that don't have to be very expensive. Meaning in the past, if you needed to do a cosmetic procedure, it had to be either crowns or porcelain veneers. Well, right now you can straighten the teeth and do a little bit of whitening, and maybe that does the trick. Or you can do some bonding, which are tooth-colored filling, special tooth-colored filling material that is highly polishable, and you can place on your front teeth, and they're conservative. You don't have to cut on your teeth. And then, they're typically less costly than ceramic, than porcelain veneers. So that's also contributed to people accepting more and wanting more. So again, it's going to vary on the where you are, what country you're in. But since I live in the U.S., this has been the experience over here.
Are there specific cosmetic treatments that have become more affordable or expensive over time?
Cosmetic procedures that became affordable. Well, one, whitening. It's the simplest one. So people that just want to whiten and that will be happy with the appearance of their teeth. It used to be going through the dentist. Now you can get them over the counter. You have the Crest whitening strips and other brands that are available over the counter. Or even at the dentist's office, it became affordable to do the whitening. That's one. Two, you have the tooth-colored composite resin, the bonding. It's referred to in layman's term as embonding. And that's also more affordable than the porcelain. And sometimes in the past, people wanted to have straighter teeth. There's nothing wrong with their teeth. They're just a little bit crowded, and they would get veneers, which in my opinion, I think would be way over treatment. Now you can simply do something like Invisalign, right? Use some clear aligners and you can straighten your teeth and then whiten them, and you'll have an amazing smile that's natural, that's yours, and conservative. So that's also less cost.
Now, good straight teeth are often the result of good genes. So what countries are known for requiring very little ortho work versus what countries have a higher proportion needing ortho work?
I think the U.S., I can tell you, probably around the late 90s or early 2000s, there was a show called Smile Makeover. And they realized that, and they were showing it like a reality TV on television, and people would do plastic surgery, people would do all kind of stuff, but then the minute they change the teeth, you see that impact. And then that's when the rise in popularity of cosmetic dentistry became you know, evident in the U.S. So I would say the U.S. probably does the most. You can just look on TV. I think it's also people, unfortunately, I hate to say this, but people judge you in the U.S. based on your teeth, you know. But in places, in other places, like in some countries in Europe or, you know, places in the Middle East. I mean, I'm originally from Lebanon, and it's different when I go there and I look and see that it's not the same. So it's cultural. Now, some places where culturally it's acceptable to have spaces. As a matter of fact, I've seen patients where they would say, I want to straighten, but I want to leave a space in between my front teeth. I want to keep that space. And that's culturally acceptable to them. So the other thing is it depends on the regions, the socioeconomic status of the person. These also play a role. So, but I think the U.S. takes the prize for more straightening. So maybe some other places like Brazil are heavy on cosmetic dentistry. I know maybe South Korea, maybe Japan.
Thank you so much, Dr. Joseph Khalil, for all your time today. Cosmetic dentistry, like veneers, are growing in popularity thanks to social media. Veneers have revolutionized smile makeovers and have allowed people to bypass orthodontists altogether. But dentistry experts believe that people are being marketed crowns as veneers. In this instance, about 60% of the tooth is drilled away, leading to major risks and infections and root canals down the road. A crown lasts for 12 to 15 years, and after that, you won't have much of a tooth left to work with after that. There's also the possibility of overbuilding veneers, making them appear bulky, and this can result in gum disease, not to mention difficulty eating or speaking. But the sad part is that perfectly good, healthy teeth are drilled away, making veneers an irreversible decision. Unfortunately, many people are left with less than perfect smiles as a result of seeking an unqualified professional to save on cost. I'm Christy I. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you right back here next time on The Cost of Everything.